And we might turn our thoughts this morning to 1 Kings chapter 18, and for guiding our thoughts we take verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Especially these words. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You know, it's a marvelous thing how this book from ancient times is as up to date today as it ever has been and ever will be. There is nothing new under the sun. And the same situation that prevailed in the days of King Ahab are similar to the situation that obtains in this day and age in which you and I live. For 3.5 years there had been drought in the land of Israel, as this great prophet Elijah had predicted. You remember how God made a promise, well, rather it was a warning. God had said to his ancient people, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods, and worship them, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. And thus it was in the days of King Ahab. And why did that happen? Why did that drought come? Because King Ahab and his queen Jezebel were wicked people. And they drove the people of Israel into terrible idolatry. Both these people were Baal worshippers. And Baal was the god of the Sidonians. And of course the worship that was associated with Baal was lascivious worship. Unbelievably abominable worship. And these two people of royalty led the people into sin with the consequent result that God's curse came upon them. Now, aren't we living in days when there is something happening to this land of ours, and to Western society, and indeed to the world as a whole? When we are sinking into depravity and into such a state of things as perhaps has never been known for a long time. And the heavens are as brass above us. And those of us who have the mind of the Lord, if there be such, and we pray to God for an outpouring of His Spirit, but the heavens still seem closed. Maybe we have turned away from God as they did in the days of Ahab and Jezebel. And God is rebuking us with a famine, not of bread or of water, but a famine of spiritual things. The bread of heaven doesn't seem to come. Here then was this one man, Elijah, who refused to give allegiance to Baal. He loved the Lord too deeply for that, and God protected and sustained this man throughout these rainless months and years. God still yearned for his ancient people. And surely we see here another outstanding instance of God's compassion and mercy. For now he sends this faithful messenger to bring them to a decision. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Let's look at this ruined altar for a little while. It's here described as the altar of the Lord was broken down. Now that broken down altar indicates to us a departure from the true and the holy religion of God. You see, God had revealed himself in love and in favor towards the fathers of Israel. He had shown to them his mercy and his grace. He had entered into a covenant agreement with them. They were to be his people, and he was to be their God. And of course, these people in the days of Elijah could look back, as we often look back to the past. Of course, people today say, you mustn't look back to the past. That's old-fashioned. That's out of date. That's finished with. We're modern people. We're in a modern society. Yes, but you can't help but look back. Don't you look back to your parents who have been dead and gone years with affection? Don't you look back to the days when you were in your youth and recall happy memories of that time? Of course you have to look back as well as look forward. And in the days, you see, of Elijah, they could look back to the patriarchs. They could recall to memory the great days of Abraham, the great days of Isaac, the great days of Jacob, the great days of Joseph. And then they could also look back again to the time of Joshua. Yes, and before Joshua, Moses. Moses, Joshua, and the great judges. And if you look back to a more recent past, the prophet Samuel, they could recall the great reign of King David. They could recall the magnificence of Solomon's reign. These were days when Israel feared the Lord. They served God. And in consequence, God had blessed them. But now this modern day was different. It was Baal that was the God. It was Baal worship. It had superseded the worship of Jehovah. And indeed there were probably a certain degree of compromise when people were double-minded who lived in those days, and they were sometimes following Baal and sometimes following Jehovah whenever it suited them. And as the years passed by, this great altar that was in Mount Carmel had been neglected. It had fallen into disrepair. It reminds us of many good church buildings that we see that have fallen into disrepair. And perhaps once a day they were crowded with people. When the spirit of revival was abroad in the land and they were full to capacity. And now these churches are falling into decay. Some are being sold for entertainment purposes. Some are being sold for housing purposes and so on. And so it was with this altar of God The stones had been thrown down. The weeds were growing over these stones. There is one thing for sure. That altar was no longer used for the old religion of sacrifice by bloodshedding. That was despised. Oh, people didn't believe in sin as their fathers had believed in sin. And that blood had to be shed to make atonement for sin. No, they were up to date, you see, up to the minute, with the worship of Baal. We didn't ask for that sort of thing. Well, later on day, we mustn't talk about Calvary too much, or the blood that was shed at Calvary. All we hear today is that God is a God of love, and love is the great theme. Nothing about judgment. Nothing about God's hatred for sin. And you know, the outstanding thing about modernism when it creeps in is its success, as we see here from this account of Baal worship. You see, the old belief in a holy, sin-hating God was replaced with a new belief in Baal, the God of nature. It has never been popular for man to be told that in the eyes of God he's a sinner, and that God is holy, and that God hates sin. You see, in our pride and in our vanity, we consider ourselves, if not good and upright, at least we're not really bad. And unless there is a revival of true religion, then any religion goes and any belief goes. And we like, you see, in this day and age in which we live, we like a religion, at least the modern people like a religion, that doesn't cause them any anxiety about sin. You mustn't cause anxiety about sin. And so, any religion that deals with depravity or anything of that nature is to be set aside. You see, this King Ahab, he was a desperately wicked man. We are told in chapter 16 of this very same book that he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. What a man. What a desperately evil man he was. He was glad, no doubt, to supplant the belief in a most holy God called Jehovah with this belief in Baal, whose worship was accompanied with lasciviousness and rites. And he wholeheartedly embraced the modern religion. It's like sometimes we think of our politicians today. They don't want to hear about what the Bible has to say about things. And the lifestyles, you see, that are entering into our society today, which your father would find abhorrent. These men who rule over us, they say, we must have these things, there must be a tolerant society, we must tolerate this, we must tolerate that, we must tolerate everything, except one thing, and that is Almighty God, and he must not be tolerated. The altar of the Lord has been broken down. And you will notice, if you I've been following that reading, how the groves and the places of worship for Baal, they weren't neglected. And indeed, the new religion was so fashionable that it soon caught on with the public. And all these prophets of the groves and these prophets of Baals were magnificently treated by Queen Jezebel. She had them at her table. The age of Abraham and the age of Isaac and the age of Jacob, the age of Moses, the age of Joshua, the age of Samuel, David and Solomon, these were the dark ages. These were the old-fashioned times. We've moved on, these people in Ahab's day would have said. And like Ahab's day, we are conceited enough to claim that we are wise above other ages, and so we put on a discount the principles that our fathers stood for. People today never talk about Ninian, that great man who came to Galloway with Christianity in the early dawn of Scottish history, or Columba, who put it at risk his life to come to Iona and on into Pictland, as Scotland was called then, to bring the gospel to it. We've forgotten the days of Wycliffe. We've forgotten the days of the Reformation in Scotland. John Knox. You know, if you go down to the High Street in Edinburgh, outside the Law Court, just opposite St. Giles Cathedral, there is a great statue. And it's been there for some time. It's in memory of David Hume. And you may ask, who was David Hume? He was an outstanding deist who didn't believe in God, who didn't believe in true religion, who had an influence in the moderates of the days that we are of that time. So much so that he conditioned their thinking into disposing of the God of the Bible. There used to be a statue to John Knox outside the cathedral there, St. Giles Cathedral. That was his church, John Knox's church. But that statue was taken and it's now hidden in a corner in New College. David Hume, he is the man of today. John Knox, he's the man of the past. The altar of the Lord has been broken down. And oh, what zeal and energy the devotees of the new religion had. Their altars were erected to Baal. They were not in a state of disrepair or neglect. Indeed, everything that had to do with Baal seemed to be flourishing. And today, when we consider the enthusiasm of people in our time, what is their enthusiasm for? Their enthusiasm is for their pleasures, their hobbies. Christianity doesn't have a place in their reckoning. They couldn't care less about God, about Christ, and about the church. And today in the middle of Inverness, the Sabbath day is despised. It's a day of commercialism. It's a day of frivolity. But I mustn't stop there. Let's think of this rebuilt altar. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And in order to bring the people to a decision for God, Elijah proposed a very simple test. It couldn't have been simpler. He said, here you have these prophets of Baal. There are 450 of them. And there are another 400 prophets of the groves. That's a large number. Now all I ask you to do is, you have a sacrifice to your God Baal. I have a sacrifice to the Lord God Almighty. And the God who answers by fire, let him be God. Now why did Elijah say, the God who answers by fire? Simply for this reason, that Baal was the God who had peculiar power over fire. And all that Elijah was saying, if your God has this peculiar power over fire, then what can be simpler than to ask that God to send fire to consume the sacrifice? I'll do the same. And you know what happened? The prophets of Baal, they cut themselves. They put their altar, their sacrifice on the altar. They prayed to God to be all their healers. And when that wasn't happening, they began to cut themselves in a frenzy with knives, with lancers. They began to shout and dance on the altar in a frenzy, probably like dervishes. But there was no answer, and then Elijah began to mock them. What's happened to your God? Is he sleeping? Is he on a journey? But eventually he has to be awakened. You must shout louder, and he'll hear you. But there was no answer. And so Elijah prayed, but before he did so, he asked for 12 buckets of water to be splashed over that sacrifice. You see, what he did to begin with, he dismembered the sacrifice into pieces. And all this mangled mass of flesh he placed on the altar. That mangled mass, that piece of flesh, was there to remind these people of how horrible sin is, and it deserved to be dismembered. And then after having done that, which caused a great deal of bloodletting, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. After having done that, he asked for that mangled mass of flesh to be soaked with 12 barrels of water. So much water that it spilled into the trench pool. The whole thing was soaked in water. How can you ignite a thing that's soaked in water? And then he began to pray, oh Lord, hear me, send the fire. And the fire came down. It not only consumed the sacrifice, not only consumed the wood, it consumed the very stones the very dust, everything. So that Elijah was able to say, there's the God that you've been forsaking. There's this awesome God. And at a moment's notice, he can come and take your life. It was a magnificent triumph. And the results that followed, the rebuilding of the altar, were that Israel was brought back to sanity. As a man of prayer, Elijah sought first of all the glory of God and then the good of the people. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant. And the fire came down and consumed all that was on the altar. You know, that's the thing that used to happen in the old days, long ago, in the days of the Bible. You remember when Abraham offered a sacrifice to God, fire came out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when David offered burnt sacrifices after the pestilence at the threshing floor of Ornan, the Lord answered from heaven by fire upon the altar of the burnt offering. And you remember when Solomon dedicated the temple that we had built at Jerusalem, we read how fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. In other words, only the true and living God can send such miraculous fire in response to the prayers of the godly. It was a resounding victory. The people began to shout, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And in obedience to the divine command, the prophets of Baal were executed. God and God alone is supreme. That's been my theme this morning. God and God alone can answer prayer. And what God is demanding from you and from me is our allegiance, our love, our loyalty, our dedication. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. I'm coming to the end of my days. I look back with great regret that I haven't done for Christ what I should have done. I can only pray God's forgiveness. But you younger folks here, be dedicated to Christ. Be dedicated to the God of heaven. And although our country is in such ruins, spiritually speaking, give God no rest until he arises and makes his name a praise upon the earth.